we thank you for this time together. And I'm asking you that by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, you would work in every heart and every family represented and bring us all closer to you. That we would be able to go through this life with such confidence in you that it would be a triumph, Lord. And I'm asking you to draw us all close to you and magnify your great name here today, in Yeshua's name, amen. Someone mentioned, let's pray for our prodigals. I bet most families have a prodigal or two. And it made me think back to this couple that came to our congregation. They had been through the Holocaust, Andre and Esther. Were you here when Andre and Esther were here? Andre had been in several concentration camps. He had really been put through the mill. So one Shabbat, I was giving a message on the prodigal son. Now, you know, if you stop to think about it, that father in that story is a picture of God. That's how God loves his children. Even when they go astray, God is concerned about bringing them back. And that father just prayed. And he prayed and looked down the road. And that's what Gracie and I are doing. Because we train these boys in the way to go. And they came to adulthood and they didn't follow through. Well, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. You know, I asked the Lord one question about that. What do you think I asked him? It says, when he is old, he will not depart. I said, Lord, tell me, how old? Well, he doesn't tell us, but he doesn't tell us in the story of the prodigal how long that father looked down the road and prayed. And one day the Lord did talk to that boy, and he was where a Jewish boy shouldn't be, in a pig pen. He was feeding on the food that the pigs would eat. And he said things were better in the father's house. And he came back, and the father saw him down the road and ran to meet him. That's a picture of how much God loves us and is waiting for us to turn around. So we had Andre and Esther in the congregation then, and they weren't believers yet, I don't think, but they became believers. When they got to Beth Messiah, all they could talk about was the Holocaust. It was like a broken record. Well, I don't know if you ever read Elie Wiesel's book on Night. It's called Night. And he was a Jewish youth at the time, and he went through his whole family went through the Holocaust. They were put in concentration camp. And he writes this tremendous book. It is so moving. Well, I told the story of this father looking down the road. And what a wonderful father to just pray and believe God to work in that boy's heart. And when I got through, Andre came up to me and his wife Esther. He said, Esther was very upset with you. I said, I can't understand. What did I say that upset Esther so much? He says, well, it's the fact that all you could do is talk about the father. You never once mentioned the mother. And here was a Jewish mother. If you know a way a Jewish mother feels, a Jewish mother is as important in the family as a Jewish father. Why didn't you ever mention that? Well, of course, the story doesn't mention it. But Andre and Esther came to the Lord, and the broken record stopped. In fact, you know what he did? He went up to Lansing, where they were celebrating Holocaust Day. And he got up in front of this whole group, this huge group, Jews and Gentiles, and he gave his testimony. He said, you know, I've been to a lot of groups and a lot of synagogues, and no one showed me the love that the believers in Beth Messiah showed me. So really what wins out, more even than what we say, is the love. Is the love there or isn't it? And God is trying to plant love in our hearts so that people will know, you see the love that's there in these people? That's the way God loves you and more. That the good news of Yeshua is about love. And it was the most quoted, I'd say the most quoted verse in the whole New Testament is about love, God's love. And it is said not just to any person, it said to a rabbi who was on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court. He was, as it were, a Supreme Court justice. His name was Nicodemus. And he came to Yeshua by night. I don't believe it was because he was ashamed. He was afraid of anybody. No, you know why it was? Those justices worked hard. And he was probably tired at the end of the day, but not too tired to say, I've got an important matter to take care of. And he said to Yeshua, you know, we believe, he's talking about himself and other rabbis, perhaps on the Sanhedrin, we believe that you're a teacher come from God, because no man could do these miracles that you do except God is with him. And you, instead of Yeshua taking bows and saying, tell me more, this sounds good, he said, I tell you the truth, you must be born again. It's a divine imperative. You must be born again. And he said that there's a new verdict now out. Judges all the time hear verdicts, don't they? There's a new verdict. David says in Psalm 51, his psalm of repentance, that the problem is, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Yeshua said to Nicodemus, there's a new verdict. He says, here's the verdict. Light has come into the world, and men choose darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The light is Yeshua. He got in front of his Jewish people as a high holy day, and he said, I'm me or ha'olam. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. At another time he said to the believers themselves, you are the light of the world. You who believe and are born again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds. And he didn't say, and then you can take all the bows you need. He didn't say that. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Listen, this walk is not about how good we are and how much we want to be the hero and glorified. It's about the Father being glorified. Everything we do, everything we say should be for the glory of God. It's all about men being attracted to the Lord and to His eternal kingdom. Because I'll tell you, this world is in a bad way. All you have to do is listen to the news. Men are giving in to their sin, and this world is in a bad way, and we need to have our hearts and mind so fixed on the Lord that every thought, every action is about glorifying Him. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Messiah to be judged for the deeds done in the flesh. And we're either going to want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. And I know I need a lot of correcting. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Or some of them are going to come before Him, and some of these are religious people. Oh, Lord, haven't we? They call Him Lord. Lord, haven't we done many mighty things in Your name? We cast out demons. We did mighty works. And guess what He's going to say? These are religious people. I never knew you. Depart from me. But I went to church every Sunday. I went to synagogue every Sabbath. You can go to church and go to synagogue and not know Him. You know that? Just going somewhere and hearing a message is not living for God. If we're here to glorify Him, that's what it should be all about. Not us, about Him. We don't need to take vows. You know what John the Baptist did? He just pointed. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't say, look at me. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was a good pointer. But I'm sure he lived the life. Well, part of living is watching suffering and heartbreak. And Yeshua coming into the world was about suffering and heartbreak, wasn't it? Satan tried to get Him in another direction. Remember when Peter said, at one point, Yeshua says, who do you say that I am? And he told him that he believed that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. People didn't. That came from God. And not too long afterwards, when Yeshua tells it, he's going to go to that torture stake, that Roman torture stake. And he was going to die for sin. And Peter says, oh no, not you, Lord. And what did Yeshua say to him? This is the guy who had just told Yeshua that he believed he was who he said. He said, get behind me, Satan. In other words, a person can one time be talking something, glorifying God, and another time the Lord has to say, shut that up. That's a mess. Well, Yeshua was willing to face the worst torture that man had ever devised. I read a doctor's statement about what happened in crucifixion. And he painted it as the worst torture anybody could go through. And Yeshua came assigned by the Lord God of Israel, Adonai. And it's interesting, all of Psalm of Isaiah 53, starting at 52, right at the end, all the way through 53, Isaiah 53, is about the suffering servant of Adonai. And it says in verse 8, even though Israel doesn't believe it today as a nation, I had a talk with a rabbi and I said, what does Ami mean? I've told some of you this. He was the head of the theological seminary. And he was interpreting that to mean the nations talking about Israel. I said, Rabbi, what does Ami mean? He says, my people. I said, about whom is it speaking? He said, about Israel. I said, only about Israel? He says, yes. I said, look at verse 8. Verse 8, and you should all remember this if you're talking to a Jewish person about the Messiah. Verse 8 says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. I says he was stricken for the transgression of Israel as well as the Gentiles. He said, you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. But it isn't a case of believing what one believes or another. What does it say? It says, for the transgression of Israel, he was stricken. He went through the worst torture that mankind had ever devised. Is torture just a random occurrence? Or in this suffering that is part of life, is there a divine purpose? In order to accomplish salvation, Yeshua the Messiah endured this excruciating suffering. The most excruciating pain and suffering possible. Yeshua is described in Tanakh, Isaiah 53:3, in this way. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. I'll tell you something. Some of you have heard this. Bear with me. But you have heard Alex Silva speak here. I love Alex Silva. He's a great man of God. He began with a Mexican street gang. Alex is Mexican. And the Lord saved his soul. And he became, to me, he's a great pastor because he's a man of compassion. Well, Gracie and I began meeting with him and his wife in his home. Sometime each month, we'd go and meet with him and pray together. And Sue Silver, his wife was the daughter of a doctor, and she had herself become a nurse. And you know what she did? She saved hundreds of children from being aborted. Hundreds. She was such a good person, such a godly person. And one day she said, oh, Harold, She called me up. She said, I thought the cancer was only in my leg, and the doctor says it's spreading through my whole body. And prior to this, she had given birth to a Down syndrome child. And here she was going to die. And she passed away, and there were so many people coming to her funeral, they had to hire another building. There were over 1,000 people there because she had saved so many lives. And do you know something? I looked at that situation. They showed pictures of her growing up. I couldn't stop crying. And I had a battle, you know? I said, what? How do we cope with this? How do we cope with such a good person, married to such a wonderful woman? And here he's left with a Down syndrome child. That child was at the Seder with his father. He's 20 years old now. And Alex has that child for the rest of his life. He has 2 sons that are grown, that are normal, and that follow the Lord. But Alex came through that beautifully. Alex, he did have to have counseling. There's no question about it. But he is such a dear, godly man. You don't see him going around feeling God did me wrong. He loves the Lord, and he points others to the Lord, and he takes such good care of that child. And I say, so sometimes the love of God is shown in the hardest circumstances. And I'd say there is the result of salvation. When salvation can see us through the most difficult circumstances, and we still walk in love in spite of how difficult those circumstances see. In Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, the author of the book of Hebrews tells us exactly what the suffering and death of Yeshua, the Messiah, accomplished. This, quote, this is why he, Yeshua, had to become like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful Kohen HaGadol, high priest, in the service of Adonai, making atonement for the sins of the people. The Jewish people have a day of atonement now, Yom Kippur. Do you know what's missing? The atonement. When Titus, the Roman general, marched into Jerusalem in 70 AD, he destroyed the city and the temple and the altar and the means of sacrifice. And since 70 AD, the Jews have had a Yom Kippur, a day of atonement with no atonement. We just celebrated the Seder, Israel's deliverance from Egypt. You know what was there instead of the lamb sacrifice? A shank bone. Why was there no lamb? Why was there no sacrifice? The altar was destroyed. Everything changed. When God spoke to Israel, he told them to take the seh, the lamb, and later on it was called the Pesach, the Passover. The lamb was called the Passover. He says, take the blood and smear it on the two side posts and on the top of the doorpost. V'ra'iti et Adam, and when I see the blood, ufasachti aleichem, I will pass over you. And the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So the means of deliverance from bondage and from death for Israel was the blood sacrifice. And God told Israel in Torah, I've given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. Leviticus 17:11. It is the blood, Hadam, that makes a Kippur, an atonement for your soul. What is missing today? The blood. The sacrifice. Yeshua is that sacrifice. This is why Yeshua had to become like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, making atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself suffered death when he was put to the test, he is able to help those who are being tested now. Amen. Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18. In David's Psalm of Repentance, he implies that the person who is suffering with a broken heart may offer that broken heart as a sacrifice to God. He writes in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. What do we need when we come to God to offer to Him in order to come to atonement and forgiveness of sin? We need to say what that tax collector said in Jesus' example. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. We need to take that position if we're going to know the forgiveness of God. And where do we point for the blood atonement? Yeshua, the Messiah. That is the only blood atonement today, either here or in Israel. Israel has no atonement either, because there's no temple there. There's no blood atonement. Yeshua is the blood atonement. When you come to God with a broken heart, He doesn't draw away from you. You know what it says in Tanakh, the Old Testament? We don't call it the Old Testament. We Jews call it Tanakh. Tanakh tells us that God does not draw away from the brokenhearted. God draws close. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles. Gracie, we can say we've had that too, right? The Lord called us to serve Him. It hasn't been without trouble. We're like the rest of humanity. When you come to the Lord, you don't suddenly become above everybody else. You're still a part of the human race, and you're still subject to sufferings. Of course, we can call on God to deliver us. A righteous man may have many troubles, but Adonai, the Lord, delivers him from them all. Then in Revelation, it tells us that God has something for us. In the New Jerusalem, He has Chaye Olam, eternal life for us, when we come to Yeshua. Not only forgiveness of sin, but eternal life with God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. That's what awakes the believer in the New Jerusalem. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. You know what the old order is? What we're living in right now. And God is going to call that to pass away, and everyone who has been born again of God's Spirit and has become a child of Adonai through Yeshua the Messiah will live with him forever. Sins forgiven, eternal life, no more disease or death. Or, you know, we have the big three pharmacies now, right? Drugstores. There won't be anymore. No more drugstores. You don't need that anymore. Then how can we profit from this suffering we've been through? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort. This is 2 Corinthians 1, 3-11. Who comforts us in all our troubles for this reason, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Messiah flow over into our lives, so also through Messiah our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort. Paul is saying this to the people he's ministering to. If I'm in distress, listen, God called me to serve him. It's for your comfort. If you're in distress, it's for your brothers and sisters' comfort, so that you can comfort them with the same comfort God gave to you. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. And Paul goes through all these terrible things that he suffered in order to present the gospel to those around him. He went through deep suffering. But he likens himself to going through the suffering of Yeshua. He says at one point, that I might know him. This is what's for us now. That I might know him, Yeshua, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. By suffering with him, we'll also reign with him. And suffering with him makes us understand what our brothers and sisters around us are going through. And we can reach out to them with all the love that Yeshua showed us in that suffering. So I would invite anyone who has a need spiritually to come up here with John and James and pray if you have a prayer need, or if you've never come to Yeshua, to come to him today. He's your Messiah and Savior. And I'll tell you what we're going to have at the end of May. We're going to go over to the Church of the King, because there's no Mishkan here. There's no baptistry in this church, and we're going to have a baptismal service there. And beginning next week, I'm going to have you sign something. We're going to have a pad over there on the table. It's against the wall, and you're going to sign up, and I'm going to spend some time with you teaching you what the Scripture says about baptism, so you'll know what you're doing. By the way, baptism says nothing about church membership. Did you know there's no such thing in the Scriptures as church membership? Of course, there's membership in the body of Yeshua. There's being buried with him and raised to a new life when we receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So God is working in your heart and in my heart, and God is drawing us to himself, and we can be above all of this tourist, this trouble that's going on in the world by knowing him and loving him and walking with him. Let's pray.